radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant and George.
What am I supposed to watch? 424? Is that math right? That's not. 642?
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios inside the Decoy in Spring Branch. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
So we saw Mauricio Dubon play first base last night. John Singleton played 14 straight games. Finally give him a day off. He looked pretty good out there. Is that something you feel confident in if they wanted to do that more often as have Doobie at first?
I just want Dubon on the field more. I think that the fact that he has had, 92 at-bats this year is ridiculous. He's hitting 303.
Yeah, I agree with you. He needs to be out there more. And part of the reason why that him playing first base might be very important here in the near future is that
27, my bad.
I mean, it's pretty close. It was probably like 303 before the game yesterday.
I don't think so. I just think I can't do math right.
But Chaz McCormick is slowly getting ready to come back. He's going to be off today. He's going to do another rehab start tomorrow. And then they were saying on the broadcast last night that he could be back as early as Saturday or Sunday, potentially, when they play the Brewers. So you've got McCormick, Lo Profito, Jake Myers, who has an 800 OPS. You have Dubon, Chaz. Like, you've got this group of outfielders in which it kind of makes your playing time a little complicated I don't think you want to take Jake Myers out of the lineup right now on a consistent basis.
Myers is actually doing all right, too. Yeah, I look at Chaz McCormick right now, and I feel like he's going to have to earn his playing time back with whatever limited playing time he gets. But he's stunk to open the year. And, okay, he's dealing with a hamstring injury. And perhaps if he's healthy, things will be better. But I'm looking at Chaz McCormick right now as the odd man out in an outfield that all of a sudden is crowded because Joey Loperfido's been pretty good since he came up.
Yeah, so most likely Cabbage will go down, Chaz will come up. Now they might also, I think one thing I probably misspoke on yesterday or didn't make clear. So with the Blanco suspension that after our show, he officially was suspended for 10 games and is not going to appeal the suspension, that they can add a 13th pitcher to the roster and just play, I guess, a man short in the lineup. So, in theory, you could send down, like, Cabbage and someone else and then bring up a pitcher with it. I don't really know who that would be in the minors, to be honest, at this point. But, like, it's probably just a body, if anything. But I agree with you. Chaz is kind of the odd man out right now because Lo Profito, Jake, Dubon, like, they're all playing pretty good. So, that's why I don't think they're also rushing Chaz. It wouldn't shock me if he goes 0 for 4. I think he went 0 for 4 the other night. He goes 0 for 4 again tonight if maybe they extend his rehab a little bit and just say, like, hey, man, like, just like, let's get the swing going again before we really bring you back up. Because he also was very terrible before he got hurt.
If he's at the major league level, that's the only way he's going to get better. I don't think the rehab assignment is going to make him do that much better. And I think really the obstacle that you have right now is since Ronald Blanco is at this moment in time suspended and you have one less roster spot, that you should delay bringing up McCormick as long as you can. Because I feel like if you have any extra roster spots, you should use it on an arm.
Oh, definitely. I mean, Joe was spotted before the game saying that no one's available. You're just like, well, that's
exactly.
Not good. Yeah. That's not good. Right. Not disheartening, but you're just like, because it was obvious that like they were going to be stretched. But to hear in question that like pretty much no one was available last night for sure besides Dubin.
Not great.
Not great. But they got the win, so that's all that really matters. If in your perfect world, so are we seeing Dubon at first more, Myers and Lo Profito and Jordan are like your main outfielders besides Tucker? And Chaz just kind of waiting in the wing as he starts to try to figure it out?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, they just all have to hit. I think when we look at the outfield situation, you have to keep playing the guys that are actually playing well, and that will be, I guess, difficult for Joe Espada to do because it does sound like Dana Brown actually lets Joe Espada make some of these decisions, even though Brown will publicly say that he wants things in the weekly interviews that he does on the flagship.
Yeah, because he kind of does that backhanded thing where – he'll say it's Joe's lineup, but he'll publicly, like, he'll offer his opinion on what's going on, and it's like, well, are you sure you're not involved? Or are you just like when you tell Joe Espada these things, is it Joe is just like, okay, cool, noted, or is he taking that as this is something he should do? I didn't realize this just because there's so many games that happen. I guess I didn't fully realize that they've used 37 different lineups this season. And part of it is injury, but the way – look, they moved Bregman back up in the five-hole spot last night. So, like, they're moving things around left and right. It is very – that's probably the biggest difference between him and Dusty.
I want to know how the Dusty Baker haters feel about that, given that the results have not been different because everyone's like, oh, Dusty Baker's too married to his lineup. And I only ask that question not because I believe that Joe Espada is in the wrong. I just want to ask it because I want those people to squirm.
I didn't have an issue with Dusty's lineups last year. My issue was actually the year before. So the one thing I didn't like that Dusty Baker would do is that when, for example, before we really knew Dubon, because he's been on the team officially two years now, like 2 days ago was like the anniversary of that trade. When Altuve, for example, would get an off day, Dubon would automatically lead off. So he wouldn't rearrange his lineup. It'd be like, okay, Altuve's out. Whoever fills that gap bats leadoff in this game. And so, like, he would keep everyone else in the same spots to try to keep continuity for them. And he went away with that. He went away from that last year. So, but, like, that was, like, when I had an issue with his lineup. But also, does it really matter?
What?
Like, the lineup construction? It seems like it does because it seems like they're winning now. Not they've changed it. But, like, I can't tell if that's unfortunate circumstance or if it like really, really, really does matter.
It's cyclical. I mean, sometimes guys are going to hit well and some guys aren't. And I felt like the daily obsession with the lineup was like for losers. It's like, get a life.
You didn't love it?
No, get a life. I don't understand. Like, what? You need to look at what the lineup is before every single game? No, they're professional players. Do your job. I don't understand the fascination with it. Like, okay, maybe you move a guy up in the order if he's not – if he's hitting well, and move a guy back in the order. If he's not hitting well, like, that's really all it should be. But, yeah, I can't believe that people actually were having daily conversations about the lineup. I truly can't. How is that entertaining at all? It's boring.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah, I know you understand.
I don't get it either.
Yeah.
Because it's all I care about the lineup is I just like to see who's playing.
Well, he should be batting third. He should be batting fourth. Like, shut up. I don't care. I said, yeah. Like, move on. Tell me about something funny.
You tell me about something funny, Paul.
I got nothing.
You got nothing, Paul?
No, I got nothing.
You got no funny stories for me today?
No, nothing.
That's not true. There's funny things on here that we're supposed to hit on.
Potentially.
You don't like funny things? So there's no funny things for the Astros for you today?
I mean, like, I look at this series against the A's. You should win every game
and
win them, please.
Yeah, please do. Christian Javier will be on the mound tonight for the Houston Astros. We'll see how that one goes. I don't know. Is little confidence mean? Is that mean, Paul, that I have little confidence in Christian Javier? Should I have more faith? And Javier,
no, I mean, why should you have faith?
We had so much faith in Fromber yesterday.
We were saying, like, please do this because you're playing the A's. You're pitching against the A's. The A's aren't good.
So should we be asking for a team no-hitter tonight from Christian Javier and the team?
Yeah, a no-hitter every game against the A's.
I agree.
No-hitter every game against the A's and the Angels, 100%.
Although the Angels will be coming up, too, so they'll have plenty of opportunities for that. But they'll play the Brewers this weekend. That'll be a big series. For sure. Brewers are a good team, and not a great team, but they're better than what you've had. So you'll get a lot of answers, I think, of what the Houston Astros really are after the stretch, because I also, like Paul, think they're going to get the sweep tonight, even if Christian Javier doesn't give you his best stuff. So one of the things with the NFL schedule that I actually do pay attention to every single year is that a lot of the sports books will give you odds for all the games weeks 1 through 18. Some of these are a little bit surprising to me. I'm curious to hear Paul's reaction, because even the games in which the Texans are favored in, and we think they should be, I think Vegas might be telling a little bit different story about the Houston Texans in 2024. We'll get into that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Gallant and George. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Decoy in Spring Branch.
So with the Texans' schedule coming out for 2024, a lot of the sports books have given you some insight into what they do the whole season. And a lot of these will go away as things change, and they'll change the odds because injuries will take place and whatnot. And then once they see the games play, they'll change dramatically. But in theory, you could go through and bet on all 17 games on a lot of these websites, if you wanted to. So the Texans open up as a -1.5 point favorite versus the Colts on the road. Fair?
1.5, you said?
Yeah, 1.5.
Honestly, I'd make it pick 'em. Again, I'm weird with the odds, but the Colts seem to have the upper hand in the majority of those two games. In totality, I think the Colts play better against the Texans than the Texans did against the Colts those two games.
So, obviously, it's always good to remind people that most of these books, or the books will always give you 3 points automatic at home. And really, it's what past that is what is like the actual line. So they've only had the Texans as a 3-point favorite versus the Bears in week 2. That seems like a mistake in terms of like it should be a bigger number.
Probably.
I don't think the Bears are like – I think they're going to be fine this year. But they won 7 games, but I don't know, I was just surprised. They're only favored by 3.5 points on the road versus the Vikings. A lot of these – we're not going to go through all of them.
They're odds in May.
I know, but like there's only 4 versus the Patriots. Just looking at it, I'm like, I'm kind of surprised that these numbers aren't a little bit bigger versus the
Bears. They didn't really blow anybody out last year, though.
Yeah, but some of these are bad teams.
But they didn't blow anybody out last year.
They had a couple blowouts.
The Browns were one of them, but I mean, for the most part, there's one-score game after one-score game.
That's true. Do you believe in the whole – like we saw it play out last year very mathematically on point with the Vikings, where in 2022 they went 10-1, I believe it was, in one score games.
Yeah.
And then, until Kirk Cousins got hurt, it was literally going in the opposite direction where they could not win a single game. Do you like really believe that that's just how the way football works? That basically everything the Texans did well in one score games last year, that'll flip.
No,
this year I don't really believe.
No, it's totally random, and everything changes year to year. But I guess it is one of those reasons that you could say that a team will revert to the mean, if you will. A lot of the math people like to do that and say that hey, they were very fortunate in these situations the year before. But hey, I mean they were in lots of one score games last year. So I feel like the NFL has a general skepticism about the Texans based off of the amount of primetime games that they have that are all after Halloween.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I think that what the odds are showing right now is more skepticism. So, hey, if you're feeling optimistic, get those lines while you can.
The only problem is that if this season blows up in the Texans' face, we're going to have to watch them get, like,
a lot
of primetime games. Well, they don't – some of them, yes. The NFL, though, like they don't flex as many of these games as we thought they were going to. There were some bad matchups last year. I think they only flexed one game last year, I think it was, out of prime time. Obviously, they're not going to flex people out of the Netflix game. That stuff's locked in.
And the Saturday game before, they probably won't do that either, just because of the way that the schedule's set up. It's crazy, the idea that they would play that many games in a 10-day stretch as it is. So then all of a sudden you move them to Sunday or something like that. Yeah.
Make things complicated.
Very.
I also, philosophically, I get why the NFL does the flexing, because you want a better TV product. And I know that it's like, okay, I understand that math says that's where the audience is, right?
I understand that math says. Interesting.
My problem with it is that even though there's more people watching it than there are people at the games, I do think that when you flex games, I think it sucks for the fans that are going.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's BS. But like, I mean, the NFL doesn't care about safety. They don't really care about the fans because they know that there's tons of fans.
100%. Like it would suck if you book non-refundable flights to a city and then your flight back is on a Monday and they get flexed to Monday. So all of a sudden you're like, well, what am I supposed to do now? Like, you have to find a different flight, a different hotel, and it just, like, it runs. No, they don't care. I know they don't care.
Here's what I tell those people. I mean, look, going to a football game in the NFL is not that fun. It's a lot of money. I'm not telling you to not go to games. I'm just saying you're paying a lot as it is. Give yourself some options. But those road games, this is something to keep in mind. And just remember, hey, you can't go to that game in a specific city.
Yeah.
Remember that watching the game at home will be probably a better experience for you from
cheaper.
A watching game perspective than going. Going on the road to some of these stadiums is certainly fun. Different environments, different weather from time to time. But all I'm saying is remember that watching it at home is not that big of an issue. But that does sound like I'm caping for the NFL. The NFL has an abusive relationship with its employees and its consumers. It still gets bigger and bigger every year.
That's crazy.
Pretty funny.
Is there a certain stadium that you would want to go to? Maybe not just to watch the Texans play, but like how many road games have you, like how many stadiums have you been to?
Gillette, Raymond James, AT&T, the stadium the Jaguars play in. I've been inside the link, but it wasn't during a game. NRG.
Yeah.
And the Vegas Raiders stadium. So, yeah, those are the ones. And the Seahawks, too.
I've only been to...
The Seahawks is the best one I've been to by a wide margin.
Yeah, it's not something that, I don't know, just we never did it. I've only been to NRG Soldier Field for an NFL game.
Okay.
I've been to AT&T, but it was for, like, USC, Oklahoma?
Not for football.
No, USC, Alabama.
Oh, it was for football. That's kind of
so like it's kind of similar. Yeah, I mean, like, well, we left at halftime because it was such an awful game. That was Sam Darnold years at USC. But, yeah, so I'm kind of limited. If I were to go, I kind of want to go to Baltimore. I don't know why. I don't know about the surrounding area.
That
Baltimore.
Sort of answers your question. I mean, you really got to have a crab cake finish.
I want to go to Kansas City as well. That's on my list. I do want to go to Seattle. I want to experience the noise.
It is like, actually
I
very loud.
Like, I want to experience that.
It is very loud. It is shocking how loud it was. I remember seeing it for the first time, and I was like, oh, okay, I can see why they're in a war over the trademark for the 12th man with Texas A&M.
Did they win that?
No, Texas A&M gets paid by the Seahawks.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. That's lame.
Yeah, because they fly a flag. It's like a blue and white flag.
Yeah.
And the Seahawks fans call themselves the 12s. It's a little bit insufferable.
Oh, really? That's like, is that the worst part of that fan base? Is the 12s? Are they like the Red Rowdies?
There's a lot of dynamics about Seahawks fans that are annoying. Generally, the belief that they are as intelligent as it gets when it comes to NFL fans is my biggest complaint. Because I'm like, well... No, people in Massachusetts have seen more winning. They don't. They haven't seen their team run the football, pass the football on the 1 yard line when you have Marshawn Lynch.
From the text line here from the 832, if the Texans season blows up in our face, can we start rumors about getting an NHL team in Houston? And yes, NFL games are high, not counting parking and eating.
NHL would be the best in-person experience. I don't know how they would pull it off, though, at an old arena like Toyota Center in a city that is as hot as it is here. I guess it's only 2 to 3 months a year that you're really worrying about as far as, like, if the ice is going to melt. But then again, in September, we did have some pretty late September days that were around 101 or so.
I don't think they're going to play at Toyota Center if it happens.
Where would they play?
I don't know.
I have to build a new arena.
I give the Texans, Astros, and Rockets credit for not being like the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves have had 3 stadiums in my lifetime and in your lifetime, which is crazy. Like, what is the purpose of that? All these teams who are getting new stadiums. For me, the Texans are going to get a new stadium for sure at some point. They are not going to get another Super Bowl until they build a new stadium. It is just a fact. Like, they are not coming back here. There are too many new stadiums in markets in which they like going to. I know people don't think our opinions should matter, but the national media members who work for NFL.com, who work for the NFL Network, a lot of them complain when they're here about getting from George R. Brown to NRG and things like that. So I think at some point the Texans will get a new stadium. I do wonder if they try to do an NHL team, if they'll try to do a new stadium for Toyota Center. I don't know where they put it.
I don't either. I think the new owner would probably want a new venue. And, hey, great, another venue for events in Houston. And then again, I wonder if the people at NRG Arena would try to prevent that from happening, too.
All right, so we're going to – so this person is Multiverse Live on YouTube. That's where you can find them.
Multiverse Live.
Multiverse Live. And Paul found this video on Texans Reddit.
Texans Reddit delivers. This person was self-promoting.
Yes,
but
as people should.
I think it's weird how Reddit frowns on people who self-promote.
Oh, does it? I'm still learning about Reddit. It makes me feel old that I don't know anything about Reddit. So they frown upon this. The people or Reddit itself? Is this like an algorithm thing?
I don't know.
Okay. So this person was self-promoting, and you found this song. And here is maybe the new theme song for the Houston Texans in 2024.
Yeah.
Swarm.
They want to know if Texans gonna win it all. But they don't know about the Texans, how they swore, how they swore, how they swore, how they swore.
Houston, H-Town.
It says H weird.
Houston, H-Town. 2023 draft came and we scooped up a few Hall of Famers. Looking back on the memory of the Dallas and rival South haters. Season ended with the South title. Division champs for the seventh time. South rivals turned bench warmers while Texan playoffs broke fans' minds. It's dog time. Coach Ryan's got the league watching. Strap throws at another dime. Tank Dell making vets fold. Will Anderson breaking no lines. They double teaming on 51. Cause 1v1 ain't pound for pound. Your quarterback turned running back when the Terminator breaks solid ground. They wanna know if Texas gonna win it all. But they don't know if that Texas is how they swore.
Yeah, Joe, don't you like this part?
How they swore. How they swore.
More. Do you want to keep going?
I don't know, to be honest.
You are curling up in a ball.
I mean, okay. Here's the thing. We can stop it.
Shrimp Boat Dane is asking for Clay Walker. That's a good point.
Yeah, if it,
Houston, H-Town.
H-Town TX on the Twitch goes, what the hell is this? This is Swarm. It's a song found on YouTube. I'll be honest.
We support local art.
I didn't know what to expect. That was not it. When you said you weren't sure if it was rap or R&B, of all the things on my bingo card, that would have been last on the last box I would have checked.
Oh, you just don't like it? From the 713, don't play that song no more. That's a double negative, so that means play it more.
Shrimp Botana says, this is why I hate Texans fans.
I'm going to do that forever. Listen, we support local art. And check out his work on YouTube.
A bunch of puke emojis here from the 713. I hope this person doesn't listen to our show.
No, listen. He even posted on Reddit. He said, hey, enjoy it. Have fun with it. He put some work into it.
No, that's for sure.
Sometimes your songs miss. Sometimes they hit.
This one's miss.
Mr. Poodle, season jinx now.
Oh, yeah. Dude, because like when it started, I was like, I thought this was like knockoff. Like, it was going to be like a Linkin Park.
Lance Wagner asks on YouTube if this is Tejano grunge. I think it's too upbeat for that.
Let's see. Mr. Poodles.
Oh, H-Town Tech says he sounds like he put no work into it. I disagree.
Do you want to read Hugh Dab's Twitch comment?
I hate that song more than I hate The Wheelhouse. Hey, they're dead. You can't don't hate on the dead, okay?
That's not cool. They're alive.
Well, the show's dead, though.
Yeah, but they're all alive.
That's true.
Yeah, they're all on YouTube
somewhere. I saw Jake yelling at somebody on YouTube the other day. It's on his Twitter account.
What was he yelling about?
Some guy from Texas named Gary was calling in and saying, like, Joe Douglas isn't all that.
Well, I mean.
And Jake just roasted him.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to see the Jets win, like, 6 games this year. They have 7 primetime games or 6 primetime games in the first 11 weeks.
Do you think they'll play that song coming back from a commercial break on NBC?
I hope they do.
Because NBC like really does a good job with the music.
I really hope they do. Maybe we get like a new version of it. I really thought it was gonna like go into like a Linkin Park kind of thing at first. For a second.
How?
I don't know.
Define like, a Linkin Park thing.
You seen all the Transformers movies?
At the end of it? With the ends credits? Like, I'm surprised that's not showing like, on TNT right now here at the Decor.
We're watching Golf and Mortal Kombat. It's a great combo. But yeah, like when like the ending credits and like it starts off kind of slow and then it starts as a rock song. Like I thought that's...
I'm Optimus Prime! Like,
I thought that's where we were going
what
with this.
I've done... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would define that as... is it rap or is it R&B? I'd say R&B.
Whatever it was art, and we support the art.
Yeah. 713, can we have Bun B take over for Clay Walker? That'd be great.
That's sacrilegious. How dare you?
What's wrong? You like Clay?
Dude, Clay Walker might be my father. Have you seen us next to each other. We look pretty similar.
No, I haven't.
Clay Walker actually looks fairly similar to me. Is he my real dad? I don't know.
Have you, like, are you going to go, can you be Clay Walker?
I should
Walker
ask my dad. I should ask who I think my real dad is, if actually Clay Walker.
Be like, hey, dude.
Noted country singer Clay Walker is my father.
How old is Clay Walker? Is he old enough to be your dad?
I don't know. He seems to be an ageless wonder. His hair's still black.
That's fair. All right, when we get back, what else is going on in the NFL? Our 10-minute drill that's here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. Hey, everybody. Don't you want to have yourself something good to drink at the end of a long, grueling day or almost to the weekend? Start your weekend early with a glass of Pendleton Whiskey. I love Pendleton. Give me one rock, two fingers worth of that amber gloriousness. It is one, cut with glacier water from Oregon's Mount Hood. Two, made with the finest northern grains. Three, barrel-aged in oak. You blend it all together, and you're going to get something that satisfies your inner cowboy. You can make all sorts of awesome drinks with it. If you want to do a cocktail, instead of just getting it with that big old rock the way that I do, it's not too sweet. It's refreshing, and I feel like it goes well with a lot of different things. I like to blend it with coffee from time to time, too. Nice little iced coffee with a little whiskey in it, a little kick. It's great stuff, Pendleton Whiskey. You can find it at your local liquor store. You can also get it at drizzly.com. It is Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., he's a leftist. A rightist?
He doesn't like left-handed people.
He doesn't like left-handed people.
Piece on Pro Football Talk, it highlights how in an interview that he did, I guess, announcing his signing with the Dolphins, he was hesitant about playing with a left-handed quarterback. Quote, I definitely was a little hesitant at first because he's a lefty, and I think I shied away from lefties. But now that I think about it, I've been throwing with Jarvis Landry since I was 15 years old. One of my trainers is left-handed. So Odell Beckham Jr., it was acting like that was one of the reasons that he took his time signing with the Dolphins. Here's the thing. Odell Beckham Jr., buddy. At this point, you were going to take any job that you could get. But I do like that there's still an idea of in the world that left-handed people are freaks.
I mean,
I think it's wrong. My stepdad, left-handed, awesome guy.
Are they freaks, or are they just not good at, like, good quarterbacks?
Well, the Catholic Church and Catholic school would have had you believing they were freaks. They stopped people from being left-handed all the time.
They did?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Big deal, yeah. Huh. Yeah, I mean, part of it, I think, was because a lot of those desks from back in the day, you get in going from left to right, and the arm rest where you would, you know, put your arm.
Yeah.
It's on the right side.
So they made people be righties.
I think so, because they didn't want to get lefty desks for anybody.
Hey, speaking of Dolphins wide receivers, Tyreek Hill is demanding that OnlyFans star Sophie Hall turn over the medical records, texts, and emails after she claimed that he broke her leg during their football lesson last year.
I mean, it was such a wild claim that
about this story.
You would think that we would have had more on this immediately. No?
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of those things where if you are an OnlyFans star and you claim that you went to Tyreek Hill's house so that you could
for football lessons.
Exactly, for football lessons. The wide receiver who wants to be a porn star when he's done playing.
Uh-huh.
And you went there for football lessons, and you also trucked Tyreek Hill hard to the point where he shoved you and you broke your leg. You would think that there would have been some sort of evidence of this, because it's a great, it's a great claim to make if you want people to take a look at your OnlyFans channel. So, yeah, now Tyreek Hill is saying, hey, where's the proof? But in a way, I think he's Streisand affecting himself, because I totally forgot about this story.
I did, too. I totally forgot about this thing. Well, part of it is, too, because Tyreek Hill's had so much drama, I think, since then. I think the slap happened afterwards when he slapped that dude on the dock. Like, I think that most of it, his drama has come afterwards, and that may be why we forgot about this thing. We didn't mention this. I didn't know this yesterday when we talked about Goff. He got no trade clause.
Jared Goff?
Yeah. They gave Jared Goff a no trade clause. I mean, I still don't really know what their other options are.
Goff doesn't strike me as someone who's going to stop playing so yeah. that he can get traded to another team because he's not good enough.
Yeah, he's not.
You got to be at a certain level to actually be able to pull that off. But good for him.
A couple of funny, like, of the schedule things that have come out, or just, like, from, like, the gambling side of this. You have teams like the 49ers. Paul, they're favored in all 17 of their games.
That's nice.
Panthers, underdogs in all 17 of theirs.
That's
like the Texans.
Correct.
Last year.
Yeah.
I think the Panthers are the Texans of this year, where I think every single game they play is at noon. I don't believe they got a primetime game this season. Well, I guess they got an international game.
They might
We're
going
to watch them play in Germany.
And they might play some West Coast teams, too.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. I'm not going to watch them play in Germany. I'm going to say pass.
You're not going to watch Giants, Panthers in Germany?
No, especially if they wear those new jerseys the Giants have.
The Giants have new uniforms. I think that the helmets look cool. They're Michigan, except for blue and red. I think the jerseys are cool. They do look like those old school jerseys. But the pants look like they've been peed in.
Yeah.
There's an off shade of yellow. Maybe. I'm sure that it's close to whatever color of off-based white was being used by them back in the day. But they should have gone white pants on that. They don't look good. And maybe that's something they'll do at some point. If you're playing in Madden, you'll definitely make it rock the white pants if you're wearing those unis. The jerseys themselves, I actually do think, look pretty cool. But some people are saying they look a little bit too much like the Montreal Canadiens of the NHL.
Yeah, 100%.
And they do.
Xavier Worthy, first-round pick of the Kansas City Chiefs. His car got stolen last night. Any chance it was Rashee Rice?
Hey, that's reckless speculation, Joe.
I mean, he's only seems like the biggest scumbag in the NFL right now.
He's just misunderstood. What
yeah,
are you talking
just shooting
about?
At cars and leaving accidents.
That was in college. Who hasn't shot up a car?
College was like 2 years
because
ago
because of the girl in college. Well, yeah, but that was a different time in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Congrats to Cowboys fans because Micah Parsons has signed a contract extension. Not with the Cowboys.
Oh.
But he's now the president of Bleacher Report's Gridiron Channel. So Micah Parsons, media mogul.
I mean, he
Him
does.
And CJ Stroud.
He does talk out of his ass a lot, but it's an entertaining listen.
Do you listen to any of the podcast stuff from current athletes or how much like podcasts do you listen to actually?
I used to listen to a lot, but I'll be honest, I haven't listened to really any sports podcasts over the last 3 to 4 months or so.
Yeah.
I've kind of drifted off into audiobooks and comedian podcasts.
Comedian podcasts, very good.
So yeah,
I haven't started audiobooks yet.
Literally just started this week.
Yeah. What are you listening to?
I'm not saying on the air.
Oh, what?
I'm not saying on the air.
50 Shades of Grey.
No.
Okay.
No. It's a book.
Okay.
That is not
the Bible.
Fiction. No, it's not the Bible.
Okay, so it's not fiction. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's for me. I might try it because I don't.
Well,
I do have a rather lengthy commute every day.
Sitting down and reading is hard. Very, very hard.
Yeah.
I fall asleep whenever I do it after about 9 to 10 pages.
Okay.
So with that in mind, you got to adapt, and now I've started listening to audiobooks, and the thing is, you can, interestingly enough, Spotify actually has a lot of audiobooks that are on its database or whatever the hell it is for free.
Would you prefer – see, one of the things I tried it once, okay? I didn't like it. It was – I can't remember which even book it was, but it was like a well-known actor was the main person reading the book, and it kind of distracted me.
Oh, interesting.
So, like, I was like, I can't remember what it was.
Well, you know it's that actor the whole time. Like, why would it be distracting after, like, once
know.
You initially hear it?
I don't know why. Because I think it was just a weird concept
okay.
to me. Maybe it might just be my general experience with audiobooks.
Okay.
But it's not. I don't know if it's for me.
The person who narrates this book that I'm reading via an audiobook, he... is the author of the book. And I got to say, he actually narrates it pretty well. But he does have a British accent, and it's been a lot of listening to a guy with a very proper, posh British accent.
Gotcha. But yeah, Micah Parsons, congrats on being, you know, running a media mogul here, Micah Parsons.
New media. Draymond Green's footsteps.
I hate new media.
Why?
Actually, I just because.
Actually, I just because?
They're annoying.
Why are they annoying?
They're worse than us.
Are they?
Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah, but he says things that you're so taken aback by that you want to hear the next thing that he has to say.
I don't.
Why not?
I don't want to like go listen
I actually
to his
am I am curious about like how he can be wrong next. Like I think there's an art to that. That's why people listen to Skip Bayless.
That's fair.
Skip Bayless always finds a way to argue for things that there's no way anyone with rational thought would believe, and he finds a new way to do it every single time. And he takes himself seriously as he does it. Like he does it with a straight face. It's the most elaborate acting that we've ever seen, and honestly, he might deserve an Oscar.
The only time I'm going to watch Skip Bayless' television show this year is when the Texans beat the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. Just so I can't wait to see what happens the next
day.
Well,
he's probably going to
Which jersey he's going to throw in the trash.
He's going to throw it in the trash. Maybe he'll take it another step. Maybe he'll light it on fire. Mm. Maybe he'll pee on it. I don't know.
Maybe he'll just show up in a C.J. Stroud jersey.
Could be that, too.
Did Scottie Scheffler just... Eagle of par 4. Interesting.
No idea.
Are you a golf guy, Paul? Before
no.
we go to break?
Nope.
Not at all. All right, when we get back, what's going on in the NBA? Let's talk some basketball. It's here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George, broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Decoy in Spring Branch.
Paul, do you think we're in danger of two Dallas championships this year?
Maybe. The Dallas Mavericks have been surprisingly good.
Playing good defense.
That is not something I expected, and... Look, I don't know that anybody's going to beat the Denver Nuggets once the Nuggets rounded into form. It was funny. We do this way too much in the NBA playoffs where we see a couple of games and we overreact to them. They are seven-game series, and perhaps even we were guilty of like, oh, wow, the Minnesota Timberwolves, because the Nuggets look like the Nuggets, and Nikola Jokic looks like the best player in the world again. So I don't know if the Mavericks have a chance if they advance to the Western Conference Finals to – beats Denver, but I am impressed by them, and I did not think that we would be seeing them in this round of the playoffs when the playoffs began.
No, and I think what impresses me the most so far about the Mavs and why if there's a glimmer of hope for them to be the team that were to take down Denver and try to win a championship this year, Luka is clearly not very healthy. Like he does not look like Luka at all times on the court. Kyrie's not playing great. Like he's playing good basketball. But he hasn't gone off yet. And the fact of like what PJ Washington's giving them, how good a defense they're playing, I'm impressed. I did not think that the Kyrie Luka experiment would work. And I don't know, man. Like maybe we overreacted as a society or like a sports culture to everything that happened with Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn. But this is kind of still the guy he was in Cleveland. The Brooklyn era was just such a disaster for him, from like being suspended for the tweets he was putting out there, not being able to play in home games. Obviously, the whole just Durant, Harden, Kyrie thing was a joke,
and he got vilified for that. And look, he said a lot of stupid stuff over the course of his life, but I felt like a lot of the things that he was saying and the way that he was defending himself with all the vaccine BS that New York was trying to pull off, like it's aged very well for him. And I felt like he was unfairly portrayed, at least on that front throughout it. He's got some other crazy, idiotic theories, whether it has to do with
flat earth
and Jewish people.
Yeah.
But this specific vaccine stuff, honestly, it's aged pretty well for him. And hey, look, if you play with a guy in Luka Doncic who is – arguably the best scorer alive, even if he's hurt, then you're going to find yourself in a spot like this. So, I think we're in for a pretty interesting Western Conference Finals, assuming that the Nuggets take care of business. Does feel like the Timberwolves are done and that the Mavs take care of business. And, we might be in a spot where the Rangers and the Dallas Mavericks are both champions over the course of a calendar year.
I think the Stars are still in the playoffs, too.
Are they?
I believe so.
How about that?
Mike Conley is going to play tonight, game six versus Denver. So that'll be big for them because they did look a little lost without him in that last game. I mean, Anthony Edwards is a superstar. I mean, he's 22. So, like, his last performance, you got to cut him some slack. He dropped, what, 45-5 the game before? Doesn't have Conley out there. They look a little lost. Rudy Gobert, though, should never be allowed to win Defensive Player of the Year again.
Why?
He's awful.
Is he awful?
I don't know. He's a four-time Defensive Player of the Year. He's like one of three guys in NBA history.
He's clearly good at something.
I don't know.
I can't call him awful, but...
You just can't get worked like by Jokic. I know Jokic is the best player in the world, and I don't think it's particularly close in this moment, the gap between Jokic and whoever the next guy would be. But that last game looked personal.
I think you could call him overrated. And look, everyone in the NBA hates Jokic.
Gobert.
Hates Gobert. So maybe it was personal on that front. But I don't look at Gobert as awful. I would look at him as
overrated.
Someone
yeah.
that
Almost
Jokic
harsh.
Is. Jokic yeah. is better than him. And the thing with a guy like Rudy Gobert in today's NBA, these big guys that are considered to be like vaunted players defensively. It's largely not due to the way that they're playing one-on-one. It's more about their presence and how much it impacts everything that's happening traffic-wise around the rim, yeah.
You think we're going to see the Knicks close this thing out?
Honestly, I don't know. I feel like people are starting to praise the Knicks too much once again. I get it. Brunson's been really good, but are we supposed to look at the Tyrese Haliburton Indiana Pacers as some juggernaut to overcome? New York gets a level of hype whenever they're successful at anything that is almost always undeserved. And it's been cool to see the Knicks actually playing well in a relevant series, I guess. But I do not give a you-know-what about the Knicks, their place in the NBA. And it always feels like whenever there's a modicum of success that they have, that the people that cover the league go out of their way to talk about how good it is for the NBA.
Well, because they're irrelevant.
Yeah, they have been largely for their entire history.
Like, two championships?
Yeah, and they were in the 70s.
Like, and when they talk about, it's funny, like, listening to some of these national podcasts, and they talk about Jalen Brunson and what he's done, and they bring up, like, Bernard King and these runs that, like, these great Knicks players supposedly have gone on. What does it result in? Nothing. And, like, that's what this team feels like to me, too. It's, like, it's a fun story. I'm a big fan of Jalen personally. Like, I've been watching him play basketball since he was a sophomore in high school, so, like, I like Jalen a lot. What he's doing historically is incredible. Like, he is doing things that haven't been done since Michael Jordan and things like that. But they're going to get buzzsawed by the Celtics if they play. No, whichever team it is. I do hope it's the Knicks, though. The Pacers, they're super irrelevant. At least, like, Knicks-Celtics, there's some historical...
I don't think there is.
Nothing?
The Knicks have never like, been
at least
a factor.
Okay, at least it's New York.
There's like, Boston, New York.
Boston, which, New York. At least you get that.
But that means all of the world is just rooting against both because nobody really likes either of those cities.
Yeah, who does the public root for there?
Probably
Boston?
New York.
Really?
Yeah, they don't like Boston.
Tornado.
I think Brian said tornado. I would root for Boston in that series. I will root for Boston now. Actually, that's not true. To be honest, I always root for Boston teams.
You
I have a lot of family in Boston.
You do? Interesting. I didn't know that.
I have a lot of family from Boston. So, like, if something – except for the Patriots. I couldn't do the Patriots. But, like, the Red Sox, the Bruins, if the Chicago teams and now Houston teams aren't doing well, I'll root for the Boston teams.
I could give you reasons to hate all of those teams. Like, I mean, obviously the Patriots winning, the Celtics having, you know, all those championships too. The Bruins have Brad Marchand still, who is a pugnacious little bastard.
Dude.
I do love
him.
But on top of that, the Red Sox, the way they treat their players – and the amount of money they actually don't spend on the team.
Yeah.
But anyway, to bring it back.
Who do you want to see, Celtics versus?
It's going to be Celtics Nuggets. I want to see Celtics Nuggets
as well.
I do too. And I want to see, I mean, obviously I'm biased here, but I'm very curious to see how they'll match up. Denver looked like the better team in the two matchups earlier this year. And if it were Denver and Boston, as much as I hate to admit it, I would be picking Denver to win that series.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, I don't think that's a slight against Boston. Part of it is the road's a little bit easier to get there. And I'm curious. I mean, I just don't know how you stop. Jokic is – I don't know who stops him. Like, he's such a freak when he's on the court. Like, that's why like I love the baby Jokic stuff for Alpi. I hope and dream he can be 60% of the player that Nikola Jokic is because he's that damn good. But, like, Jokic is so good, it looks like he might not get stopped until, like, Wemby and the Spurs figure out how to play playoff basketball and be good and relevant, because he's just – he's absolutely dominant. But it's been a fun NBA playoffs this year. I've really enjoyed it. Good luck to the NBA as they lost Christmas, because now it's the NFL.
They lost Christmas. It's
they lost over. Christmas. You think they pivot?
Where are they going to pivot to? Like, I've always
– Do you think they try to, like, be like, all right, we're going to move to Christmas Eve?
Well, they should start the season later. They should start the season in January.
I agree.
I think the reason they don't do it is because in the later months of the summer, there aren't going to be as many people who want to work or something like that. But ultimately, yeah, you will have the entire sports world watching if you move things back to a point where the playoffs are in July and in August.
Yeah, like what if the playoffs were during the All-Star break, like a championship? You'd be the biggest story in the world. Like the Major League Baseball.
Okay. Yeah.
Like if you did, if you had the during the MLB All-Star break, you had the NBA Finals every single year.
It would make a lot more sense, because I think ultimately the first couple of months of the basketball season, because of football, they just don't really seem to capture as many people. And if you want to capture more of an audience, then you have to attack parts of the market that are untapped. And July and August are, like, literally the most untapped. There's nothing of note going on, because baseball still isn't in a moment where it's, like, real, you know, stressful moments, stressful games, and yeah.
Yeah, if I was the NBA, I would have my schedule basically start the second the Super Bowl ends. I wouldn't start till February, and then I would go find a way to
make sense.
Like, just play everything in between. Maybe you end in August, like, before the regular season starts, for the NFL, but I would just try to avoid the NFL at all costs and go head-to-head with baseball. But alas, we're not the commissioners of the sport. And they couldn't play in the Olympics. I know that's what really matters. That's how you define all-time greats like Carmelo Anthony, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
We can't take away Olympic basketball
from
these guys.
No, you can't. Mr. USA.
Mr. USA. All right, when we get back, what are your expectations for Christian Javier and the Astros tonight when they take on the Oakland Athletics? What do you want to see for Javier in a bounce-back performance? That's next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.